going to have to bite my tongue because I really want to continue the conversation about female rappers. But I'm going to bite my tongue and continue that conversation for another day.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I don't think it's anything new. I think dudes were doing that first.
I think it's a music business issue.
Maybe.
I think it's what gets released, why it gets released, what quote-unquote sells. Anyway, I have many opinions on it. I just don't want people to think that I don't enjoy women rapping, and I don't. There are plenty of talented women rappers out there. It's just every time I put the radio on, it's about the same thing.
Yeah, I'll give you one quick one who's not local, but Bay Area. Have you heard of Kamaya?
No.
We got to get you some Kamaya, man.
Kamaya.
Yeah, Kamaya, she's super talented.
I would just like to, and look, these are lovely ladies. Cardi B is a lovely lady. Megan Thee Stallion is a lovely lady.
There's a big butt coming.
Nicki Minaj, a lovely lady.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Following your cabinet.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to...
It's a lot of cushioning you're putting down.
I would like to...
they don't need that. Landing you're about to make.
They don't need that Phil Jackson pillow.
Oh, my God.
I want to know more about that. Like, I want to know the viewpoint of a woman about the world, about being a mother, about, you know, maybe single mothers that they know, that they grew up with, their childhood. Like, that's like Tupac and Biggie and the storytelling, Jay-Z. And it's like, I'm missing a lot of that story.
I feel like Meg's got that, though.
Maybe she does. The song, the stuff that I've heard. And listen, I don't sit there and listen to like 15 Megan Thee Stallion songs back to back to back to back. The stuff I've heard on Sirius and the radio, yeah, it's a lot of the same stuff.
Fair, fair.
Which is, again, beautiful women, all of them. And if you want to brag about it because you got it, go right ahead. Yeah. It's just as a listener, I would love to, you know, I want to see that the diversity and depth.
A little bit more catalog.
Yeah, a little bit. And I don't think it's on them because I'm sure they have, I don't know. I'm sure they have some songs that talk about other stuff, but it's the other, you know, it's the main thing that gets sold.
I just want everybody to know that I, Rami Makhlouf, appreciate all these ladies and think the state of female rap is very strong. Very strong.
TC,
it's me, TCG. Rami Makhlouf of Cattles and Rami.
TCG says...
Standing apart.
Careful, careful. Monty making Mitch said he gets what I'm saying. Yeah, I hope that most people get what I'm saying. It's not... I have nothing against the women that are out there doing what they're doing, and they've been very successful. It's just, I want more, and I want to know about how they view things. That's all. And not just a certain thing that they view and how they feel about one certain thing about life. Give me a little more. Back to basketball. I want them to rap about basketball, Rami. Cardi B needs to come out with a hit.
About hooping?
Dribble penetration.
Well, she has a song about it.
I was a Jordy Fernandez.
I screamed yeah, back here in the other room.
I was Jordy Fernandez.
I tried to keep it like clean and like, and then Rami was like, "Nah, I'm gonna take the ball and run with it."
Because you know, Rami's like, he's a child, man. He's a child.
That's totally on me. That's not on Rami. It's on me.
You had to pick, you're working with. You had to pick those two words.
Jesus.
After the conversation.
Jesus.
You know he's a child. He tells you all the time that he's a child, man.
It's on me. It's totally my fault. Totally
okay,
mine.
Okay.
All right, what were you saying about basketball?
I mean, how can I go back to basketball? Who am I kidding? How can I even do it? I'm going to break down Keegan Murray scoring 30 points now.
I can't wait to clip that later. Tears in my eyes.
You had to pick those two words.
Those were very fine choice words of Mr. Cattles.
Of all the basketball words you could have picked.
He could have said Euro step or pump fake. Or, yeah.
Pump fake.
No one's going to believe me now. I'm not even going to say it. We're going to push forward. We're going to move along.
All right.
Woo. You good?
Yeah. I'm sweating a little bit, but I'm good.
Sweating a little bit. Got you sweaty, huh? A little sweat on the, a little sweat dribble there.
Ooh, all right. You were saying basketball?
Yeah, I mean, Keegan had a good night. 30-6. Shot the ball well. It's fantastic.
Oh, man.
8 of 12 from 3, Rami, is what he did.
I'm sorry.
8 of 12 from 3.
This is one of those, and this has happened throughout my career, where I have to apologize for my immaturity.
Steven Torres says, Rami is a mood. I am sweaty and laughing my bleep off.
I'm dripping wet, buck naked.
We have all of these people.
Oh, man.
With the line that I mentioned, getting a kick out of what we've done the last several minutes. But then I've got to appreciate Patrick Donaldson, who weighed into the YouTube chat and said 30 points in 33
minutes.
There you
go, Patrick. Get us back on track. Get us back on track, Pat.
Tunnel visioned.
You're what we need here. You're exactly what we need here.
Do we ask Mark Schlereth on his thoughts about Megan Thee Stallion?
Maybe.
Does Mark have them?
Mark is he's a little all across the board. I could see Mark having an opinion.
Be like, hey, Stink, who's your favorite female rap artist?
He might have one.
He might.
Does he
might
go like old school?
He might.
Yes.
Yeah. He drop us like a Queen Latifah?
Yeah. MC Light. I think he goes
MC
that way.
MC Light?
Yeah.
A little Moni in the middle. Little.
Absolutely.
You think 80s or early 90s?
80s.
Okay. All right. 80s. Only one way to find out. Only one way to find out.
It's Super Bowl week. They understand they get weird questions.
Should I preface it and say, like, this might not be your wheelhouse, Mark?
Maybe I'll do it on this side of the glass and set you up.
Ooh, I like that.
If it's an awful answer, we have to ask.
Should we take guesses as to who his favorite rapper? If we ask Mark Schlereth who his favorite rapper would be, should we take guesses?
Right now and all time. It's a two-part question for sure.
Right now, I think he takes somebody mainstream. You know what I mean? Because I doubt Mark Schlereth is going for the deep cuts in the hip-hop world.
You think he goes
at
like
this age
Cardi
in his life?
B? Or
like a Jay-Z or Drake or something like that.
I'm talking female rapper.
Oh, we're asking him specifically female rapper?
Specifically, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think he probably says Salt and Pepper.
I'm going to go with Queen Latifah because he watches The Equalizer on Sunday nights.
That's a good guess.
That's a great guess.
That's a good guess. Yeah, that's a solid guess.
I watch that show.
Dude, that's solid.
I'm sticking with Salt and Pepper.
Are we going to find out Mark Schlereth's favorite female rapper of all time? We'll ask him about that if JJ thinks we should. In actual football in 90 seconds.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
All right, so I've been told that Mark does not listen to rap. So I don't want to upset anybody that we had teased we were going to ask. But we did say Mark might not be a big rap guy. He might not listen.
We foresaw that possibility.
But Mark Schlereth joins us right now from the NFL on Fox, 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He, of course, is on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. I will not ask you a rap question, Mark, but I will ask you, since I don't want to leave people hanging, what is your favorite type of music?
Probably, I mean, I love rock, just classic rock, but my favorite stuff really is 80s alternative stuff.
Really?
So, I'm like, gosh, The Cure, Elvis Costello, New Order, Echo and the Bunnymen, on and on. All that genre of the Smiths, the Smithereens, the Morrissey after he left the Smiths. That's my go-to on my phone, all my downloaded music. It's called my Vandal music. So that takes you back to my University of Idaho days.
Now, when you were in the locker room, did you get to play that stuff when you were playing, or the guy shut that down?
No, sometimes. I mean, you know, that was the kind of the era we were all in. So obviously, we sometimes did it, but you know, we always had different theme days, and the deal was always the senior vet in the senior vet in the weight room got to pick the music. And so we did. And then in the training room, we used to have Country Fridays sometimes. So we do a little country music, which I like. I like that as well. So anyhow, but never was a big rap guy.
Got it.
And that's
hard
fine.
To believe is that, you know, a fish belly white kid growing up in Alaska. That rap guy. You know, but.
let's get to some football then, Stink, if we may. Out there in your neck of the woods, Sean Payton hired for the Broncos head coaching job. I'd imagine the reaction to that, the reception of that has been overwhelmingly positive after what y'all went through up there.
No question. And, you know, there were a lot of people that were like on the, hey, I want a D'Amico Ryans. I want a young coach. And I hate the term retread. Not that Sean Payton was fired. He never was. But I always thought retread just sounded so negative. So I started talking about wanting a certified pre-owned coach, you know, somebody who's done it before, somebody who knows how it's done. And I think that's what you got in this press conference yesterday. And then at one point, Sean Payton was asked, you know, Russell has his own QB coach and da 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 da. And Sean just shut it down, instantly shut it down. The things that people complained about here in Denver and complained about, honestly, in Seattle for all those years. He was asked if he was going to allow that. And Sean just said, hey, I'm not familiar with that, but that's not going to happen here. So he's like, I don't know what you guys did in the past, but that ain't flying here. You're going to have our coaching staff, they're going to be on the field. Ain't nobody else going to be, and our players. And that's it. So I was really happy, you know, that we seem to have hired an adult that understands what it takes to win.
Mark Schlereth is with us here on Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports. Another hire happened today, Mark. Steve Wilks, new defensive coordinator in San Francisco. Dislike it, like it, or love it, and why?
I love it. I think he's a damn good coach. I think he gets his guys to play really hard for him. I think the turnaround that you saw, in Carolina was a direct, it was a direct reflection of him in that and what he wanted to do. And it was pretty significant. And the other thing, you know, when you're talking about coaching for Kyle Shanahan, you're talking about we want to control line of scrimmage. We want to beat people up. And that's what the Carolina Panthers did in Steve's last 8-9 weeks that he was the interim head coach there, whatever it was. They just beat people down, and they won quite a few games. And I really thought that he was going to be retained as the head coach, but obviously he wasn't. And I think it's a great hire for the 49ers. I mean, they have such a good defense, so many good players, and they play, you know, they play a 4-3 front that, Steve Wilks definitely will slide right into.
Let's look at, obviously, Super Bowl this Sunday, Mark, and I don't know where the betting line is today, but Vegas has this one very tight. Anyone who you listen to or watch or read previewing the game on Sunday have it as tight and a matchup, as even a matchup as we maybe have seen in years. Do you see any major mismatches on the field between those two teams this Sunday?
Honestly, I think that Philadelphia is just a better football team. Hmm. I can go position by position, but I think ultimately when I look at lines of scrimmage, and I look at that a lot, Philly, there's nobody better than the Philadelphia Eagles when it comes to dominating a line of scrimmage, especially offensively. And the other thing I think that when you look at the history of Kansas City losing football games, it really comes down to line of scrimmage play. And the teams like Tennessee or some of the teams that have beaten Kansas City, one, they possess the ball. They get 32, 33, 37 minutes of possession. So really what you're trying to do is shrink the game. And what I mean by shrink the game, a normal game is about 12 possessions. Can we get it down to 8 possessions? That's all they have the ball with. And right. Then, you know, can we wear them down? And the thing about Philly is they're so big and strong. They're like, I always say this, there's two types of teams. You're big and strong or you're fast and athletic. They're big, strong, fast, and athletic. So I think they'll dominate the line of scrimmage. And I'm one personally that has this like a 10-point game, Philly's direction.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of people do think it's going to be tight. I, I see what you're saying about the Eagles, and you know, can Steve Spagnuolo come up with a plan that can help that defensive front when you've got that just terrific Eagles offensive line? Let me ask you about this since we just handled the Super Bowl, Mark. The Raiders. If you were the Raiders, would you go all in and chase Aaron Rodgers now that Tom Brady is out of the equation?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously his connection with Devontae Adams is ridiculous. And you saw the effects of not having Devontae with Aaron, you know, last year in Green Bay. They're just so good, especially in critical situations. And Devontae's one of those guys, if you talk to, like, Aaron or you talk to other people like Matt LaFleur, he's just one of those guys that sees the game like a quarterback, like Cooper Kupp. They just know defensive rotations. They know the coverage they're getting. They know the leverage the defense is supposed to use. And so they run routes the way a quarterback sees the route being run. And it just makes them basically – undefensible, if you will. I don't even know if that's a word, but it sounds like a word, so I'm going to use it. Indefensible, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not that bright. But they just have this unbelievable knack. And, you know, it's not just during a play. It'll be like, hey, Aaron, hey, man, last time we were in third down and 4-6, when I was in, you know, when I was number two in a 3-by-1 formation, so I was the slot receiver, the middle receiver, they try to bracket me this way, so run the same play, and I'm going to take the same exact release, but I'm going to break it in a different direction. And that was in the first quarter, and he'll say, next time we get that in the second quarter or third quarter in that situation, let's run that. And then, you know, he'll break the huddle, and they'll get it, and he'll look over and go, okay, we got it again. And just has that level of attention to detail and understanding of the game that he can make those things happen.
Let me bring it full circle, Mark. And we started talking about Sean Payton and taking control back as he becomes the head coach of Denver. Does that whole situation and these quarterbacks on the trade market who are obviously highly sought after, like Aaron Rodgers is now, and all the clout that they come with, do you think the way that that kind of blew up in Denver's face, do you think that scares teams off from going after that type of quarterback, or do they look at that as an isolated situation?
I think they probably look at it as more isolated. The other thing I think they look at is they look at the coaching situation, the lack of honestly, let's just call it what it is, the lack of control. And you know, and I think that the really good coaches and Sean Payton and guys like that will look at Russell Wilson and say, okay, you know, the number one thing that we have to do beyond attacking weaknesses of the defense is we've got to put our players in a position to let them play to their strengths. And more importantly, we've got to put our players in positions to mitigate their weaknesses. And, you know, I think that what happened in Denver was, a coach that said, okay, Russ, what do you like? What do you want to do? Okay, we'll do it. And it was one of those situations where if you saw the last two games and you really studied it, once Nathaniel Hackett got fired, Jerry Rosberg basically took control of that organization, said, hey, by the way, you're not playing and you're not playing. And Russ, we're going to run the boot camp game and we're going to run all these other things. And you're going to basically do what you did all those years in Seattle. And all of a sudden that offense actually started producing a little bit, and they played Kansas City tight, and they ultimately beat San Diego, LA Chargers. So I think those are the things we saw.
Mark, thanks for the time as always. We enjoy it. We'll catch up one more time, I think, next week. Until then, be well.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, take care.
Thanks. There goes Mark Schlereth, NFL on Fox, 104.3 The Fan in Denver. He was on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. The latest on the Kings and the trade deadline. Come 5:31 on the Tuesday. Time check brought to you by Cosi Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. I don't know what happened the last 30 minutes of this show.
It was weird.
I feel like I blacked out.
It was weirdness. Weirdness happened.
I don't know what happened. We had a Mill texting Simone, cursing about the show.
What did Mill have to say?
He was just confused, I think, by the subject matter. Oh. Intrigued, perhaps, hopefully.
Check the chat.
Oh, I didn't see that in the chat.
Simone did not clean up the text in the chat because she didn't
have
to. No, you don't have to.
Now you're like dogging me.
No, you didn't have to.
All right.
I'm just saying, you don't have to keep it clean
just
in the
like
chat.
Those female rappers, huh?
Seeing it now.
I asked this on Twitter earlier because
my answer to Emil? I don't know, dude.
Yeah. Again, I
have no idea.
I blacked out. So, Kings fans, would you trade Davion for Matisse Thybulle? We had this conversation about Davion in the 4 o'clock hour saying, hey, look, you know, he's not that we're looking to trade Davion, but he does not seem like a fit unless Coach Brown is going to change things. He did show a little bit of a wrinkle last night waiting to bring Malik Monk in before he brought Davion in. Davion and TD came in first, then Monk subbed in a little while after that. And it seemed to really help Davion, and Davion was more aggressive in the first quarter, and he had the basketball in his hands more, and then he reverted back to what we've seen from Davion this year, which, frankly, is not enough offensively. And so we just kind of started having the conversation, and Rami, you know, we wondered, well, if you did trade Davion, you obviously need to address that defensively. Do you go out and get another ball stopper to replace him? And I brought up the name Matisse Thybulle because, you know, Thybulle's been linked to the Kings.
He's a defensive specialist.
And he is reportedly very available from Philly, and he's a defensive first guy. And so I asked the fine people on Twitter, would you trade Davion for Matisse Thybulle? Again, it's at Nick C Radio, at Nick C Radio. And 63% say no.
Hmm.
And
I'm surprised by that.
Geologist Stonk tweeted, it's a lateral move, defensive specialist for defensive specialist. I'd rather stick with Davion, who's part of this season's good vibe culture and is loved by fans. That brings me to two things, Rami. Number one, I do not agree that it's just, oh, defensive specialist for defensive specialist because you have a defensive specialist wing versus
right.
a defensive specialist 5'10" guard.
The versatility of Thybulle is much greater than it is with Davion Mitchell.
The other part of that tweet is something that we've talked about here and there as we get ready for the trade deadline, which is how is Monty going to handle this deadline with how well the team is playing? And I think that tweet is a perfect example of what we've talked about, which is, oh, you can't trade Davion because he's great for the vibe and because – you know, he's loved, but you got to remove the emotion.
I'm hesitant, too, to break up the chemistry and shake things up too much. But when you get down to the seventh and eighth man on the roster and you can move those guys to upgrade the roster and improve your chances, that's a move you got to make. And if that messes with the chemistry, then the chemistry is fragile to begin with. You know what I mean? These guys, they understand what the NBA is and what's trying to be accomplished here by the Kings, and they know an upgrade when they see one, as much as I do, as much as Nick does, as much as anybody listening or watching us on YouTube right now does. They understand what the ultimate goal is here and what an upgrade looks like. And yeah, they'd miss Davion Mitchell, but they'd get over it if it was a better basketball team that they were showing up to play with every night.
Now, continuing with the idea of the trading deadline, Jared Vanderbilt is reportedly available. Tony Jones from The Athletic actually reported that a West team offered 2 second-round picks for Vanderbilt. I'd be all in on that. I think Vanderbilt is a fantastic fit. He's 6'9". He's got a 7'1 wingspan, so he has that length. He's got some athleticism. He crashes the glass with reckless abandon. He can defend at a high level. He can defend 1 through 4 on the floor. And he also does a pretty good job of knocking down corner threes. And he's under contract for next year. I think Vanderbilt is the type of guy, if we're talking second-round picks, I mean, I think Vanderbilt, he's my favorite wing. And my favorite big, as we've talked about, Rami, is Mason Plumlee, who, according to Jake Fisher today at Yahoo, you know, he wrote today, the Kings have made their own reserve center, Rashawn Holmes, available for trade. Said Sacramento continues to be the team most often connected to Plumlee by league personnel.
And that's the first that we've seen. I know he says most often connected to. I don't know about you, Nick. That's the first I've seen an actual report connecting the Kings to Mason Plumlee, that there's actually been interest expressed by the Kings for Mason Plumlee. I'm encouraged by that, man, because he's at the very top of my wish list as far as guys that the Kings can add between now and the trade deadline. I think he fills a massive void for this team and provides exactly what they need when you talk about the second unit and a guy that can take some of the load off of Domas, who's carried a heavy, heavy burden for this basketball team this year. That was encouraging to me to see him officially connected to the Kings as somebody that they're interested in. Now, if the price is a first-round pick, as we heard last week, my interest quickly wanes for a Mason Plumlee. But if we're talking second-round picks or role players, things of that sort, yeah, I'm all in on the Mason Plumlee market.
Yeah, we've been talking about it, too. You know, all of these prices that we see, very, very pricey. And how much do we actually believe that these teams are going to be able to get those kinds of prices? Like, I don't think you're going to see Alex Caruso dealt for two first-round picks. I don't think you're going to see Mason Plumlee be traded for a first-round pick. I think Charlotte and Chicago are hoping for the best and wishing that they continue to leak this idea of, oh, multiple first-rounders, that actually a team is going to bite. I don't think a team is going to bite at that level. I honestly don't. Another guy, Dwayne Dedman, was traded to San Antonio today.
You want this, dude.
And according to reports, Dedman is unlikely to stay in San Antonio. And, boy, I had fun with the Dedman stuff today until I didn't have fun
on
Twitter.
Did you have fun? Was it fun, Nick?
Look, I made a mistake. I did the whole—
We got punished, you know, for a dumbass rule.
Eyeball emoji, hyperbole, having fun during trade season. Some Kings fans did not like it. And then Dave quote tweeted me, and
Dave threw you right under the bus.
Yeah, he did. He couldn't wait. It goes back to the Jokic-Tatum thing. He's still a little hurt about that. and probably me saying that he leaves this thing a mess.
Dave walked by, saw you getting roasted, and threw a Molotov cocktail on it.
Yeah. Yeah, loved it. And then he came back and was like, I thought you were being serious. But it's my fault, because when you tweet something without context, people have immediate reactions. Is Dwayne Dedman somebody I would bring in? Yes, but here's the context. He would be like sixth or seventh on my list. Nerlens Noel, Mason Plumlee, Naz Reid, other bigs we've talked about. JaVale McGee is available. I'd think about bringing McGee in before I brought like, there's a lot of other guys I'd bring in before him. My point was, and again, I didn't tweet the point, so it's on me. It's not on me that Dave quote tweeted it, but it's on me. You know, he wouldn't cost you anything. And I know his history. I do. I know his history. I know he came here after signing a decent contract. I understand that. I get that he stunk. He couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. And Kings fans hate him for that. I get it. But my point is, Dwayne Dedman is better than Alex Len. And if you can bring somebody in and not have to give up any assets, because it sounds like the Spurs are going to end up waiving him, you're just paying him like the minimum for the rest of the year to be your second or third big off the bench.
Yeah.
He's at least in the conversation.
I mean, is he an upgrade on Rashawn Holmes and Alex Len?
He could be.
I don't know.
At least, I mean, if he can knock down a three every once in a while, he would be over Holmes. He's definitely, to me, an upgrade over Len. Holmes, you have the issue, but I don't think Holmes is going to play a lot for this team. He's not a fit.
No, I mean, he's obviously not.
They're not going to run pick
and
roll.
He hasn't played a lot.
You know, the one game he was really good was the one game that Domas didn't play, and they ran more pick and roll, and they went away from what they want to run offensively. Right. So, again, with the context, I'm not clamoring for Dwayne Dedman. Just saying, if you get stuck in a situation where Monty was unable to acquire a big that will help you significantly, he would be on the table to me as somebody who you might bring in without giving up anything that could help your depth.
Nick wants Dwayne Dedman.
That's right.
By any means necessary.
That's right. You heard it here first.
What you just heard.
Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports.
Come on, Rami. I know you know it now.
Classy, bougie, ratchet. I'm not.
I was going to say, Simone, you just said like a word, but then you stop. You can't start and then stop. You got to be committed.
Committed, confident. That's me back here behind the glass.
Y'all karaoke? Y'all ever karaoke?
Absolutely. I'm going on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I saw your tweet about being out karaoke.
Oh, God. Simone? Love them, but yeah, please, more originality out there, please.
What did they sing? No Diggity? Was that
No Diggity. What's up? Mr. Brightside, like, miss me with all of that. It's just so unoriginal. Lames.
If we have that...
No Diggity is a great song.
Late Night Out that we were talking about earlier.
That you're not going to partake
in? I'll partake.
We'll take video. We'll send it to you.
If we had a karaoke bar, I will do that song at karaoke.
No Diggity?
No, that one that we just heard.
That Meg song.
That Megan Thee Stallion song.
Savage.
I will do that at karaoke.
I'll sign. Oh, I'm signing up for that.
Oh, my God.
Somebody mark
Clip
the, mark the calendar.
It.
Deal.
Come on.
Not if, when.
Yes.
Let's make it happen.
Very much.
Make You're doing happen. Meg Thee Stallion, my G?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Come on. You whipping the ponytail?
Let's go.
Oh, that's it. I love it.
Let's twerk.
This is good.
You going to twerk on stage?
Maybe. Maybe.
Wow.
I've been known to twerk
Give
from time to time.
Give the people what Have they you? Want.
That's a thing with you?
No.
That's 100% going to happen. By the way, 547, before I forget this, time check, brought to you by Medical Clinic, Coastside Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough remedies for men. Yeah, that's going to happen. 100%.
Let's go.
We have to make that happen. Speaking of happening, Rami, is LeBron going to beat, is he going to beat the scoring record? Is he going to take it over from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar tonight?
Did you see what he showed up to Crypto.com Arena wearing tonight?
I did. Yeah, you can explain it.
That was tough.
That's a man who's there to set a record.
Yep.
How many shots does he take tonight? 25 or more?
All the shots.
He takes at least 25
However
shots.
Many shots it takes. He's breaking.
It's on TNT. He's going to take 25 shots.
He's breaking that record.
He's 36
tonight.
Points away from breaking the record.
One thing about LeBron, because he's literally been in the spotlight almost the entirety of his life, he understands performance. He understands putting on a show. He understands a moment, and I think that he revels in that, and he wants to show up in those moments. And I think that the suit was a statement. The way that he showed up to Crypto.com Arena tonight, that the show is on. The show is on tonight.
He's wearing his best.
Yes. And y'all come and watch it.
And it's Oklahoma City, so he could score 50 if he wants tonight.
Right.
Here was LeBron this week talking about the record.
Still mind-boggling to myself, you know, because I've set out goals throughout my whole career. I want to be Rookie of the Year. You know, I wanted to be an MVP in this league. I wanted to win championships, be an All-Star. I wanted to lead the league in assists, you know, make all defensive team, Defensive Player of the Year. I've never said I wanted to lead the league in scoring, or for sure never said I wanted to be the all-time leader. And scoring. That's never been like a dream of mine. And to sit here and actually be on the brink of it happening, this is, it's pretty crazy.
It is a great point by LeBron. I mean, no matter how you feel about him going crazy on the floor about fouls and the subtweets and all the other stuff, like just all the drama.
Yeah.
Just strictly as a basketball player. I remember when he was younger, it might have been his first postseason. When, I don't know how many people remember this, but it was a series, and it was at the end of a game, and he drove into the paint, and he kicked it out to Kyle Korver. And he passed it to a teammate to take the shot. And he was criticized.
Killed.
By so many, saying, you're the guy, you're the man. So I actually, what LeBron just said is true. Like, I think that really speaks to how good he has been for how long he has been that good. Like, he did not go out of his way to be an all-time scorer. When you think about LeBron, you don't necessarily say score right away. Like, if you think of Jordan, you could say score, right? Like, LeBron really didn't, you know, pattern his game after those guys. He more patterned his game, you know, behind, like, Magic Johnsons of the world. The 6'8", 6'9", guys who can, you know, dribble, find teammates, the vision, all that stuff. LeBron, you know, especially when he was younger, high caliber defender, he does it all. So it really, I mean, he was a guy that came into the league, Rami, that couldn't shoot that much.
Yep.
You know, couldn't shoot well at all from distance, especially. And so it is fascinating that a guy who I don't think we would label as a scorer is 36 points away from breaking the all-time scoring record in the NBA.
I think it's just the longevity, man, and the endurance of this guy's career and the fact that night in and night out, this dude shows up and shows out, and he rarely has an off night, Nick. You're right. He's not a score first type of guy, but he's a good enough scorer that when you show up every night and you rarely have that off night and you fill up that box score to what your averages are as consistently as he does that and stick around as long as he has, you end up here. Not to make it sound easy, but you end up here. You know what I mean? Just on the longevity of that greatness and consistency.
I think he's played, I think I saw somebody tweet, he's played like 150 games less than Kareem did. But he has played so many minutes. He's played so much basketball when you think about it. I mean, going from, you know, high school to the NBA, the Olympics, you know, all the Olympic participation and stuff that he's done with the Olympics over the years, the amount of postseason basketball he's played a ton of minutes and a ton of games. And to be playing at the level he's playing at 38 years old is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He is the Tom Brady of the NBA. I said it 2 years ago. I'll stand by that. He is a freak. He's going to do things that people we never thought would be able to do if he continues to play without injury. If he stays healthy, he's going to do things that we did not think were possible for like a 40-year-old guy to do in the NBA.
Yep.
And it's amazing to watch. Meanwhile, football stuff, Cattles and Rami here on a Tuesday. We all know Sean Payton is now in Denver, the new head coach of Russell Wilson. And this was a very interesting back and forth between Payton and the media yesterday.
Russell Wilson had a personal coach in the building with access who wasn't on the staff.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with that.
How do you feel about players having their own people off the staff in the building access to players?
Yeah, that's foreign to me. That's not going to take place here. I mean, I'm unfamiliar with it, but our staff will be here, our players will be here, and that'll be it.
I don't know how this goes down well next year. Nick,
I was going to say, does Russell embrace that?
Because unless Russell Wilson was humbled by the way that last season went, and I know he plays himself off as the most humble person that's ever walked this earth, but his ego grew in Seattle to the point where he wanted control, and the whole let Russ cook thing became a thing, and that created friction with Pete Carroll. So unless that year in Denver humbled him to the point where he can cede control and be coached and be part of a system and be part of a bigger thing, I don't see how this thing works any better than it did when there was the friction between him and Pete Carroll in Seattle.
The question is, what does Russell want? Does Russell want to quote-unquote cook, or does Russell want to win? Because it doesn't seem, whether it was in Seattle towards the tail end or Denver last year, if you're going to follow along the Russell plan, winning doesn't come along with that. Winning at a high level. And so it's going to be up to Russell to make that decision. Am I going to embrace Sean Payton? Am I willing to change all of the things? There's been a lot of rumor and innuendo about Wilson, how he carries himself, you know, the company he keeps. And not saying that they're bad people, but, you know, he has his people, and it's a marketing branding thing, and they tend to get in the way. How much is he willing to accept a different way of operating?
Yep.
Because if he's not willing, then it's going to be trouble. It's going to be trouble. And he makes too much money. They just can't get rid of him. Thanks to JJ, Simone, great job from those two behind the glass, as always. Rami, good stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Everybody, enjoy your night. We're back tomorrow before Kings basketball. It's Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports.